Being said, let's go ahead and jump into the message this morning, where we're starting a short series where we're going to be answering the question, what kind of church will we be? And the reason we are doing this series to start, before I get into a book of the Bible, which is what I love to do, is the simple fact that there has been a pretty major change in the church. You surprised if you didn't realize this, but you guys have a new pastor. So for our purposes in this series, we get to look at some biblical and theological topics that are so important for us to know and understand if you are a Christian and for us as a church, topics that will affect how we think and operate as a church. Anytime you have a major transition, you get a chance to kind of look and evaluate different things. And certainly as a church, we get the opportunity to look at ourselves and answer that question. What kind of church do we want to be? So that is why I decided this first series that I would cover some critical topics that we all need to know, that we need to get on the same page for as a church if we want all that fellowship, I believe that fellowship can be. Put another way, we will never be the church that so many of you have told me that you want this church to be if we aren't aligned on some of the most basic and important topics and aspects of what we're called to be as Christians and a church. Doesn't mean we'll always be in completely full agreement about every topic, but it does mean we will be able to have a shared understanding and starting point to build off into the coming months and year. So this series is an important one where, again, we'll be covering some topics that will probably be familiar to you if you have been in the church for any amount of time. But again, let's get on the same page as we move forward as a church. So what will we talk about? What we will talk about in this sermon is really important. And I thought about it for a while. It's not only my first sermon in this series, it's my first sermon to you as your pastor. So really thought about what it would be. And I came to this topic because I think it's completely fitting for this time. Now, before we jump in, I'll ask you a question. Why were you created? Why are you here on this earth? Have you ever thought about this important question? Why did God create you? What is the purpose of your life as part of His good creation? And I'm sure there are many answers that people could give. Answers like to love God and love others, maybe to worship God, to make the world a better place. All of those answers and more. And while those answers are good and true in many ways, ultimately, it's not exactly what the Bible tells us as to why we were created. Look at what Isaiah records about what God says regarding this important topic. God speaking here in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, speaking of His people, He says, "Everyone who is called by My name, whom I created for My glory, whom I formed and made." What God declares about His people and therefore makes clear about all people is that humans were created for His glory. In other words, humans were made to glorify God with our lives and our very existence. This is why, if you were to open up the Westminster Shorter Catechism before anything else, it asks this question: what is the chief end of man? And its answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So as humans, we have one purpose for why we're here, why we were created, and that is to glorify God. We were created for His glory. This means that each and every one of us has that main purpose below everything else. You are to glorify God with your life. So when we talk about what we want to be as a church, I don't believe we can start anywhere else but here. Because above everything else, we must seek to glorify God in this church and with our lives, because that was what we were created to do. So all that to say, this may be new to many of you. There's a chance You may have never heard this before, that this is why you were created, this is why you are here on earth. And with that in mind, the question I think could be rightfully raised, what does it actually mean to glorify God? Because that's a word, if you've been in church, gets thrown around a lot. You've probably heard it many times. You heard it this morning a few times. But what does it actually mean? Because it's kind of ethereal in some senses. People might have different understandings of that. But if this is why we were created, we better have an understanding of what that means. So very quickly, I'm going to explain what it actually looks like when we glorify God with our lives. Here's a simple definition of what it means to glorify God. The author says, to glorify God is to display his praiseworthy qualities or attributes. And I love the simplicity of this definition and what it means to glorify God. As we read, to glorify God is to display who he is, his qualities, and his attributes. Put another way, it is to make much of God and who he is by showing the greatness of God and his nature and character. That's what it means to glorify God. But maybe you're not much of an academic kind of definition person. You might be a picture person, right? There's plenty of people who think and understand a little bit easier and more in pictures. There is an analogy that I like that I think helps us get our mind around in an easier way what it looks like to glorify God. Look at this excerpt from the book Biblical Doctrine. By analogy, God is to Christians as the sun is to the moon. As the sun is the exclusive source of light, so God is the sole source of glory. As the moon reflects light, so believers reflect God's glory. And I think this image is really helpful for us when thinking about what it means in our lives to glorify God. You could think of God, in this analogy, as the sun, with us being the moon. If you didn't know this, again, surprise, but the moon does not have light in itself. When you see the moon, you have moonlight shining in the sky, it is reflecting the light of the sun for us to see. Likewise, with our lives, we should be reflecting God's glory to the world and to people around us. We should be reflecting out to everyone who God is and his attributes, what makes him God, like his love, like his mercy, like his justice, like his grace, whatever makes up God, we should be shining that out, reflecting it out to all around us, the light of God in that way, showing how great God is by living in such a way where it all points back to him, the source of all things. Just like the light of the moon points back to the source of where its light comes from, which is the sun. You can think of it this way. As Christians, when we love other people, it should be for one reason, because God loves us. That is the reality of it. If we're loving other people for any other reason, we really need to think about it. Ultimately, if you are a Christian, you have experienced the love of God in such an incredible way that how could you not love other people? And so when we radically love, when we demonstrate that love, we're not doing it for people to give us credit. We're not doing it for any other reason than the fact that our God is a God of love. And so when we do that, what are we doing? We are showing God's love through our life. It's as if we're reflecting who our God is to the rest of the world and to those around us. So when people ask us about our love, it's not how great we are. We say, oh, well, I can't help but love. Let me tell you about my God who gave me the greatest love. I have experienced all this love. That is in a very real way how we glorify God. That is how we do it. Do you understand how that works? As if we're shining into this, the light into the world, it's all about us reflecting the light of God, his attributes, who he is. And so I think this analogy helps us understand this important reality for us as Christians a little better. We glorify God by displaying his greatness, his uniqueness, his goodness in our lives, like we are shining that light to others. And Jesus gives us similar imagery in his Sermon on the Mount. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before..." "In your same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Those who follow Jesus are lights into the world, like a city set on a hill. It's difficult for us when we have electricity everywhere, but you could imagine back in the day when they did not have that, it was very dark at night, and so certainly an area that had many lamps, it stood out in the darkness in that way, to where that light from that city shined out into all the area around it. This is what it looks like to glorify God. We are a light shining into the darkness. And look at what Jesus says happens in verse 16. "When we do this, when we glorify God with our lives and people see it, when they see us reflecting God's greatness and goodness and the rest of who He is through our lives and our actions, they will give glory to God." Jesus is saying that when people see us glorify God as we were created to do, in a very real way, they will experience and know something about our God through our actions. And I personally think that's pretty incredible, because think about that for a second. There are some people who do not know God or really don't care anything about God and who He is, but they will actually be able to see something about Him and who our God is, experience even just a little bit about our God because of us, when we live our lives to glorify God. This is why how we live matters so much. And let me say this, because I think it's important. When we start talking about living in obedience and how we live, so often, or I guess I shouldn't say that. Well, no, I'll go ahead and say it. A lot of ways that Christians live, it's kind of like, I will obey and I will do what God says because I hope at the end of my life, the scale will be tipped about 51% good, about 49% bad, right? I live just enough to be a good person, and then I get to heaven in that way. But the reality is, if you're a Christian, that's not at all why you obey. Actually, that's the heart of every other religion in the world. You just hope before you die, again, the scales tip just enough on the good side, and then you've made it. But that's a works righteousness. That is not what Christianity is about. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who think that and live that way. But if you are a Christian, that has already been taken care of in Christ. Eventually, I don't know when, we'll get into a series on Romans, and so you'll get a lot of this. But the theological term is called justification. The minute that you are saved, the minute that God by His Spirit opens your heart and the Spirit comes in and you experience new birth, you are justified. That is a legal term if you want to think of it as God being a judge. We are on trial there. The law ultimately puts all of our sins before God and says, this is why he or she is guilty. This is why they deserve hell. This is why they deserve separation for all of eternity. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, ultimately, our sins, past, present, and future, are completely taken care of, and we are justified. We are declared right with God. That is the beauty of the gospel, that aspect of it. So we're not ever trying to live our lives to get to God. That's taken care of. Instead, Christians seek to live as God commands, first and foremost, because we should love God for what He gave us in Christ. I mean, Jesus makes this clear in John chapter 14, verse 15, and all throughout John chapter 14, we get this aspect. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Any sort of explanation of Christianity that says, well, I just love God, but I'm not into the religious aspect. I'm not into all that legalism, whatever people say, so that people can live however they want, but say they love God in Christ. Jesus says, It's not true. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. It's clear as day. So the first reason we will obey and why our lives matter is simply because we love God. We love Christ and for what he has given us. But also, we should try to live godly, holy lives as we are commanded, because this is what we're created to do, to be able to glorify God with our lives. And so we glorify him by showing who he is to the world around us, and that's going to come so often through how we live and act. Here's the reality, church. You are a Christian. The ethics, what God commands, is radical. It is radical compared to the world. That is why Scripture says the path that leads to destruction is wide. It's very easy to live like the world and everyone else, but that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. It's radical to live for God. It's radical to do the things that he says. And the reason why is it shines a light. People look at it and they say, that's different. What does that mean? That is why it is so important to get this. This is why we take this seriously, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We don't do our good works for us. We don't do our good works because we're trying to get to God. We do it because we love God and we want people to see him and experience him through us, pointing back to him. And this means, as I said earlier, there are some people in your life who may never hear the gospel. They may know nothing about God. They may have a false idea of who he is. Maybe they don't want anything to do with him. And we'll have the opportunity to reach them without saying a word through how we live and act. Now, of course, you should say a word if you can. But through us glorifying God and displaying who he is, the qualities and attributes of our God through our actions and lives, living radically like he commands, they will be able to see and know a little of our God and who he is because of us. They will get to experience the God of the universe, this amazing God who has changed our lives if we are a Christian through our lives. Again, I just think that's so absolutely incredible. And by the way, this is how the early church changed the world. So many Christians are focused on power and position and these sort of things in our world and our time. We need to make sure this person's in their power, or we do this and that. And I'm not saying, I'm painting with a very broad brushstroke here, but here's the reality. The early church had no power. They had absolutely no position. As a matter of fact, they were being killed and they were being persecuted and they had nothing, and yet they changed the world. How did they do it? They lived radically. They lived like God commanded, ultimately. They did crazy things like caring for the sick and the poor. When plagues and things popped out, ultimately in that day, they would just kind of isolate them and let them be. And if they died, they died. Christians went and met them where they were at, so often contracting whatever it was and dying with the people that they were caring for. With the poor had nothing, and Christians cared for them. Orphans, abandoned children, in that day it was called exposure. If they didn't want a baby, so often female babies, they would just leave them out in the woods or just leave them there to die in that way. You know what so many Christians did? They came around and they took that child. Sometimes, unfortunately, it was just to care for the child until the child died and gave them a good burial. But then they would, if they could, they would raise that child as their own. Even Emperor Julian at the time, who was completely not for God, commented on how loving Christians were and caring. They lived in such a way that the world took notice, and it ultimately changed the Roman Empire of that day and all of Western civilization built on the ethics of Christianity. So I say this to say, we get focused so often on the wrong thing. We're worried about things like power and position and all this other stuff. When history tells us, when Christians just live radically, even if it comes with persecution and being outcast by society, guess what? We can change the world because we are glorifying God. We're pointing to something greater than what other people have in their lives and so often experience. So look, when we get this, I just think it's unbelievable. To be honest, it doesn't even seem real. Just that aspect of people get to experience our God through our lives. But even just personally for your life, when we begin to glorify God and understand that this is why we were created, and if we can do that with our lives as we, again, we were created to do, I think it means a couple things for us personally. In one sense, it means that everything in your life has meaning and purpose. There is no small thing done for the glory of God. Even the most minute or overlooked detail that glorifies God has a profound impact, if just for the fact that it was done to glorify God. But this also means that it doesn't matter what you have been through in your life or who you are. Maybe your life has been hard or anything but ideal. Maybe you've made mistakes, terrible mistakes, and done things that you are not proud of. It doesn't matter if people have overlooked you or have said that you don't have value, or maybe you don't even feel like your life has much value. It doesn't matter how much purpose you think your life has. Maybe where you're at, or maybe most of your life has felt so meaningless or without direction or purpose, or maybe people have told you directly that your life doesn't have purpose or meaning or any of that. If we live our lives for the glory of God, if we allow whatever we do or face to reflect the goodness and the greatness of our God, whether it's good or whether it's bad, then it has infinite meaning and purpose. It is never pointless or in vain, no matter what it is and no matter what we've done, or no matter what is coming or we might go through. You may not understand it. You may go, I don't get this. This is certainly not what I would like for my life. But it has infinite value and purpose no matter what it is. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It does not matter. If you work for God, it is never in vain what you do with your life or whatever happens to you. So I think this reality should be so encouraging to all of us. Again, when we understand why we are here as humans, that means that everything done for God and His glory has ultimate meaning and purpose. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying it'll be easy to live out this reality. The truth is, we're sinful and broken humans. Even the best of us will lose sight of what we are created to do. We'll get caught up in this world and not glorifying God as we should. And as we now know we should, if you've never heard that we're supposed to glorify God with our lives. But understanding what I'm covering this morning allows us to actually have a choice every single day and in every situation, no matter how tough or terrible it might be. We can choose to remember why we are here on this earth and then glorify God in everything we do by revealing Him to the world around us, deciding, as Jesus said, to shine that light into the darkness. And look, to be honest, I was faced with this reality this week because, again, to be honest, I've kind of had a rough go of things the last couple weeks, starting with my time leaving where I was at. There were some pretty brutal goodbyes in a good way, but it's just like, man, it's tough to leave some of these friends and people that I have. And then I get here, and then let's just say a lot of things have gone wrong, too many to talk about, but one of them has been my health has not been great since I got here. All last week, and I've had a terrible migraine that I just don't ever get. Last Sunday, I was struggling, having one side of my head. It was hard to even keep my eye open for a lot of Sunday. And then something happened with my car. And so the last couple of weeks have been rather interesting for me. And when I was sitting there waiting for the individual who was going to help me out with the thing with the car, I just remember thinking how this was all the opposite of how I wanted my time here to start and to be. I mean, I was feeling pretty down and discouraged, wondering, you know, what is happening? But of course, I was in the middle of writing this sermon, and so it is tough to write the sermon and then experience some of these things and not have my mind go to the realities that I was writing to talk to you guys about. Ultimately, realizing that reality that I'm talking about, that my life and everything in it and everything that happens to me is for God. And it's for His glory, not for me, not for what I want, not what I might think, not for my glory, not for things to go my way, any of that. And so, you know, trying to be a good Christian, I had to pray. You pray, and then I was just determined, look, if I'm going to talk about this, I need to live it out. Determined to glorify God with the rest of my day. And so I talked to the guy who helped me, trying to encourage him. We talked about things going on in his life and all that he had going on, so trying to encourage him, and he thanked me at the end. Later that day, I was able to talk to one of my best friends in Colorado, and even though I was honest about how I was feeling, I was able to talk about how, even though I didn't understand why all this was happening, but I was sure that God would be glorified in it somehow. So I was going to try to do my part to act in ways that reflect Him, that glorify Him. And by the way, I believe that God, by His Spirit, helped me. I was pretty down at one point this past week, but I feel so much better. Look, there are many things that I wish I could have changed, but I have a peace about it now, knowing that whatever has happened or will happen or will come my way, God is in control and I am His. My life is for His glory. My purpose is to glorify Him, not to have things go well or my way, but to make the choice to shine that light in whatever I face, in wherever I am at. So what I'm saying here, you may hear this topic and go, well, this is a fun academic and theological topic. Doesn't really have much practical purpose. But I would say it has infinite practical purpose for all of us. I think it affects all of our lives. We will have meaning and purpose in all aspects of our life if we get the truths that I have been covering this morning, no matter how good or how bad, because we are doing it for God, to glorify Him, fulfilling the very purpose for why we were created, so we can have boldness and peace to face whatever comes our way. So I tell my story not to go, yay is me. I tell you because I know this stuff. I've been in ministry for slowly getting close to 2 decades. I've done my time in seminary. I've done all these sort of things. I know this, and it's still difficult for me at times to remember and to put into practice. So take heart if you haven't been living a life that's glorifying to God, or maybe you did not even know that that was the purpose of your life before this morning. We are all there in one way or another. But when we need a reminder or motivation, especially during those tough or difficult times, because it's easy to complain, it's easy to get in our head, it's easy to get down. And I'm not saying we shouldn't feel what we need to feel, but too often we get stuck there, or our focus gets so much onto our situations, we lose sight of what God could do or is doing, or at the very least, again, what we were created to do, which is glorify Him. So if we need a reminder or motivation, especially during those times, don't look at me or my story. I'm on the journey like everyone else. Instead, look to Jesus, because Jesus shows us the perfect example of what it means to glorify God with our lives and our actions. So often, as Christians, you know, we think that Jesus came to earth to live a perfect life, die a sacrificial death, be raised in power, defeating sin, death, and the grave, and ascending into heaven in victory simply because He loved us and wanted to save us. And while that is certainly true, look at what Jesus says about what He must do while on earth and what He ultimately did. John chapter 12, verses 27 through 28. Jesus saying, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Understanding what He came to do, He turns around, He prays, "Father, glorify your name through what he was going to do. John 17, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And then going down a few verses to verse 4, Jesus saying, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus sought to glorify the Father and did so with his time on earth. He said, I glorified you on earth by doing the work that he came to do, which, of course, was to live that perfect life, die that sacrificial death, be raised in power, and then ascend to heaven, amongst other things. So, church, ultimately, we see in Jesus that perfect example, what it looks like to glorify God in all things, to have that motivate us, even if it costs us everything. That is one thing I try to tell my church all the time. We are blessed to live in this country. It's like the Disney World of the world. But if things turn, and ultimately culture is turning in different ways, guess what? We join the rest of Christians throughout all of history who have been persecuted, who've been on the outside, and that just means it gets darker for our light to shine brighter. It doesn't mean we get down and caught up. We still pray. We still do our part to make wherever we're at the greatest it can be for the glory of God, but we know even if things go wrong or bad in our lives, the world around us, personally, whatever it is, even if it costs us everything, we glorify God and we look at the example of Jesus who did that to the very end for us. And if you think it's pointless, if you don't understand why it may be happening in your life, again, just look at Christ. There wasn't a single person of that day who saw him get crucified who thought, oh yeah, this is going well. Even though he told them many times what was going to happen, they basically all abandoned him. And ultimately, when he was raised, they were still confused. They were hiding in a room. All of that. So it's just to say, you may never understand it, but what does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So church, what kind of church will we be? Well, I think this is the place to start with what we were created to be and do, which is to glorify God above all. Let's glorify him in our lives and church. Let's not get caught up in ourselves, our own preferences, our own this, our own that, whatever it might be. I've said this when I was interviewing. You'll hear me say this a lot. Church isn't about us. It is about God. The church is Christ's bride. Now, of course, it takes different forms. There's different aspects of that. But we should all be striving to reflect God and his greatness and his goodness to all of those around us in our lives and in ultimately the community around us. So let's shine a light into Kenosha, pointing others to our God and our Savior. Ultimately, God is so great and wonderful, so holy and merciful, so powerful and gracious, so just and loving. So let's display those qualities and attributes of God to those around us in our actions and our lives. And by doing that, we are able to show how great our God is and reveal him to the world around us. Let that be the foundation of our church. Our God is amazing. He is so great, so wonderful. If you are a Christian, he has given us everything. So why wouldn't we want everybody to experience that? And it's going to come not through great programs, not through great this or that. At a base level, it'll come through how we live, shining that light, letting people experience him through our lives and actions. And for us personally, whether this is the first time you're hearing this or it's one of many, let's glorify God in all that we do. Realizing this, it's really important. Let's not get caught up in, oh, I just want the big actions to glorify God. There's nothing too big or small to where we can't reflect the goodness and the greatness of God in it, even if it's as simple as what we do every day, which is eat and drink. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It does not matter what you do. Do it to reflect the greatness of your God. Do it somehow to point back to Christ. So as I close, Let's realize that we were created to glorify God. And as I bring this to a close, I just got to be honest. This is the honest truth here. We were created to glorify God, and we will glorify Him in one way or another. You will either glorify Him in this life by coming to Jesus and using your life to glorify Him, accepting what Jesus earned through His life, death, resurrection, ascension, and therefore basically giving up our life to make sure we glorify Him, knowing that we get to spend eternity with God, experiencing His glory, His goodness, His love, all of that throughout all of eternity. Or, that's one option, or if you do not come to Jesus and instead live your life, instead of glorifying God, live it for yourself, whatever that might look like, you will also eventually glorify God. But you will be reflecting and experiencing the holiness and justice of God that comes from His wrath against sin and evil through eternal conscious torment in hell. So all humans, this is the honest, maybe brutal truth, all humans will do what He created us to do, which is glorify God for all of eternity. It will just be what we glorify God about. There are only two choices, and they are vastly different. Eternal life, reflecting and experiencing the goodness of God, or eternal death, experiencing the wrath of God for our sins. So I pray that everyone here is a Christian and is looking forward to spending an eternity glorifying God like we are glorifying Him, hopefully here on earth. But if you aren't a Christian and have been living in sin and a life that looks anything like glorifying to God, you are on the path to hell and all that entails. But one thing you will hear me talk about all the time, it's the gospel. The problem with all of us isn't that we hear the gospel too much, it's that we forget it too often. The gospel is good news. It is for everyone. So if you are away from God, if you are living that life that's not glorifying to Him, living for yourself, you can also look forward to an eternity with Him. All you need to do is repent and believe. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus by faith. Like I said earlier, not trying to live a better life in your own strength, thinking, oh, I've made all these mistakes or I've done this. I'll just try to earn my way to God. That's not it. It is what we are saved by faith through grace. This not of ourselves, not of works. But it's the gift of God in that way. It is a complete gift of God. You come by faith, believing Jesus is who He says He is, and that He accomplished what Scripture testified that He accomplished, that He took the wrath we deserved, and instead we get what He earned. That's the incredible thing. We don't have to face the wrath of God. Jesus took it for us. We just repent, come to Him knowing we need a Savior, and then by faith, believe that He is who He said He is, that He is our King, that He is our Lord, and know that we will spend eternity with Him. And we live in our lives in obedience to Him, giving up our life, whatever that may look like, knowing there's something greater coming, knowing that we'll glorify God in this life with the excitement that we'll be able to glorify Him for all of eternity. But instead of there being this separation until either Christ comes or we go to meet Him, we'll be able to glorify Him in His presence and with the angels singing, holy, holy, holy. Well, praise the Lord, right? We will experience His goodness and love for all of eternity. So, church, let's glorify God in our lives and with everything we have, knowing it is what we are created to do. Amen?